Bucks fans, 1 o'clock game is upon us. Can't believe the week has flown by. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, episode 2 of this week. If you didn't listen to episode 1, it's there for you at joebucksfan.com or at Podbean or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, out there on all the podcast platforms, or most of them anyway. The Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, where you get the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, and you can order a vehicle, and they make it incredibly easy, and they give you $500 just to do it with no deposit. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Sage, you will be back at Big Storm Beer a week from Sunday.
No question about it, Steve. I'm going to burrow my way through that menu. Start it off with a salad for the Saints game, but I will skip the salad for the Pittsburgh game and go right for the pulled pork tacos, something in that regard. Lee, if you come over, I'll watch your tater tarts, Lee. Watch them. Guard them.
Well, I'll be up in Pittsburgh, so
beautiful.
Hey, Ira, I think the best part, the last time you were out there at Big Storm Brewery watching the Bucks in their Clearwater location, beautiful outdoor covered patio, fully covered. I think people need to really go to BigStormBrewery.com, look at a couple of the pictures of the tap room, or follow them on social media. Big Storm Brewery, just so awesome outdoors there. Or you can sit inside, and of course, tap rooms up in Odessa and in Orlando at the Amway Center. But Sage, the best part was when I said on the podcast, Ira, I think you should buy people some beers, and they held you to it, even though we didn't really advertise it. That was fun. So you know what? I'm going to do it again. If you're out there October 16th with Ira in Clearwater, and you get there before kickoff against Pittsburgh, Sage is going to buy you a beer. Just ask him. You got to go up and ask him. Say, Ira, buy me a beer. Where's my beer? He's going to take care of it.
Beautiful. We took care of a bunch of people during that New Orleans game. I'm looking forward to it. Bucks at Steelers. Lee's going to be there. And I don't care if it's Pickett or Trubisky under center for the Steelers. The Bucks need to jump on them early and put them away.
Well, we got a big game on Sunday first, Ira. A big game on Sunday. And after the game, you can still shop at Bill Curry Ford right there, a mile north of the stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford. Just head into the showroom after the Bucks' victory against the Falcons. You just head in there and start celebrating at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, look, interesting week with the Bucks, but kind of a quiet week. Nothing that's too insane here. And, of course, you know, Tom Brady not saying too much. He knows they got to snap these doldrums, the home record. You know, not acceptable. He even mentioned that early in the week on his podcast. And I think that's a critical piece of this game, Ira, and I have to say it. I'm going to put my foot down. I think this is a critical game as it relates to the Todd Bowles regime, because it's a finger-pointing game. The Bucks could survive a loss. I mean, it wouldn't be pretty, and we'd be questioning the hell out of them, rightfully so. But Todd Bowles, that would be bad for Todd Bowles, and I think, not that the players don't respect him, but as far as the organization and the fans and some players wondering, I don't know, you know, you got Bruce Arians walking around and we just lost 3 in a row at home. I think it's an important game for Todd Bowles. What do you think of that, guys?
Well, you might be onto something, Steve, because they weren't ready to play when the game started. They weren't ready. And I don't mean dropping the opening kickoff. I just mean the lack of physicality when the game began, Lee, and it lasted, you know, for 55 out of 60 minutes. They, as you said, they were bullied, Lee. Here's what I think needs to be done on Sunday. Lee, they haven't played a complete game. Let's be honest. A complete game where the offense looked good and the defense looked good. That hasn't happened through 4 weeks. It's always been one side or the other. First 3 weeks, defense. Offense looked pretty good on Sunday night. Lee, it needs to all coalesce. How do you like that word, DeKemper? Can't spell it, but I can say it. It needs to coalesce into a complete game victory. We'll see if it happens. Lee, I'll say this. And I can't believe I'm saying it, because I'm the guy that said, gee, the Falcons look like a team that's going to be, you know, 4-13 and trying to draft the Alabama quarterback, you know, and Arthur Smith's looking ahead to next year. I said all of that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. But the fact is, through 4 weeks, they've been in every game. They should have beat the Saints in week one. They had a big, big lead with less than a quarter left, and they blew it to the Saints. Otherwise, they're 3-1. You know, Arthur Smith looks like a pretty savvy coach. I don't think he's got a lot to work with, but they run the ball very well. They know who they are. Yeah, Patterson's out for a month. Where, you know, he's on injured reserve, but they'll go with some young backs. Their offensive line's much better than I thought it was, Lee. I thought they were terrible in the trenches. Grady Jarrett's still playing good football. I mean, he's an old man by now. The Falcons don't look like a pushover, Lee. So, you know, I'm a little wary of this game because all of a sudden, Lee, there's questions about the Buck run defense, which, by the way, Lee, this goes back beyond the Chiefs game. I didn't think the run defense was very good against Green Bay. Against the Saints, I'm sorry. Then they bounced back against Green Bay. But, you know, they've had some problems against the run. And here come the Falcons, Lee.
I don't know where to begin with this. Devin White, can you tackle low? Please, can you tackle low? He's always trying to tackle high. No wonder he has so many missed tackles. Tackle freaking low. I know you could do it, man. I've seen you do it. Now do it. Don't go high on these guys. The Falcons are trash. I'm sorry. Arthur Smith, you're an offensive coordinator. We live in 2022, not 1965. Can you develop a passing game? I've yet to see him develop a passing game. Don't give me Marcus Mariota. He sucks. He sucked at Oregon. I don't get you could shove his Heisman Trophy up his rear end sideways. He was never a passer. Never. So they can run the ball. Great. Go get a job with George Halas.
Steve, that's a tremendous rant by DeKemper. It's tough to argue with his points. Steve, I can't blame Arthur Smith for not throwing the ball with Marcus Mariota.
And who picked Marcus Mariota? I bet it wasn't Rich McKay. I bet it wasn't Artie Blank. It was you, Artie Smith. Well, you wanted that clown. The big deal. Run the ball.
Steve, they moved on from Matt Ryan, who, by the way, Steve, he really hasn't been very impressive at Indy. They're a big disappointment. So Mariota's not going to be there next year. Steve, he's not going to be their quarterback in 2023. But right now, you know, they don't beat themselves, except for that Saints game. And they've been very competitive. I'm surprised.
This is high school nonsense. Oh, you tried. Oh, you were in the game. Oh, joy. This is the NFL. Learn Steve, how to throw the ball. Learn how to win.
Steve, what did you say to DeKemper before this thing started? You got him all revved up.
Well, Arthur Smith's an interesting character because, you know, he was with the Titans. And, you know, he would have been a little foolish to air the ball out, given his quarterbacks there and the fact that he had Derrick Henry. I mean, he worked with what he had, and they had a tremendous, tremendous offense in Tennessee, statistically, not from the passing game. And he sort of has the same kind of team here where he doesn't have the horses to throw the ball. So he's running the ball and everybody knows it's coming, and he's still been able to do it with multiple running backs because Cordarrelle Patterson is going to miss this game because he's injured, but they've got the rookie out there, the rookie fifth round pick, and he ran the ball well last week. So last year they won 7 games, and I think a lot of people thought that was a little bit of overachieving. And you know, Ira, from your sniffing around the NFC South, how much they love Arthur Smith in Atlanta. And so here he is, second year coach, getting the most out of his team. But you know, he doesn't have a quarterback. If the Bucs run defense doesn't show up this week, I'm not sure there's much hope for him, Ira.
Boy, Lee will be all over the coaching staff. If the Falcons gouge them for 150 on the ground or 175, Lee, we're going to be all over the coaches, and rightfully so, because, Lee, you and I can devise the defensive game plan against Atlanta. Make Mariota throw the ball 35 times, Lee. This ain't rocket science.
Exactly.
And take your chances. So we'll see. You know, I'm expecting a lot better effort from the Bucs, Lee. A lot better.
Let's hope that we don't see a repeat. I'm watching NFL Network, and there's another highlight or low light of Devin White trying to tackle high. Anyway, I vividly remember that grotesque Tennessee Ready game. And if the Bucs are not prepared for that runaround quarterback, that two-bit quarterback, Marcus Mariota, to run to the outside and run the ball. If they're not prepared for him to run, that's all on Mr. Bowles. I like Todd Bowles. I like him. And I think he's going to be a good coach. But if you're unprepared for a run-around quarterback, that's on the defensive coordinator. That's on the head coach. I ripped Lovie Smith. To this day, I ripped Lovie Smith for that game. And deservedly so. And from what I understand, that was the beginning and the end for Lovie Smith here, that Tennessee Ready game. Todd Bowles, don't set yourself up. Prepare to stop the run from the running backs, from the quarterback, hell, from the tight end. Stop the run. This is your bread and butter. You're always talking about stop the run first. And by the way, rightly or wrongly, fair or unfair, if the Bucs get gouged by the run and lose this game, every Bucs fan's going to be screaming, why didn't you re-sign Ndamukong Suh?
It's already starting, Lee. It's already starting. The comments, people jumping on letting Suh go. The guy never misses a game. You contrast that with Akeem Hicks. Where is he? When's he coming back? Who knows? Jason Light is, he's a little uncomfortable at the moment. He swapped Suh for Hicks, thinking Hicks is a better pass rusher, which he probably is. But Lee says it all the time. Availability is the big ability. Where's Hicks? Steve, this game's going to be decided on first down with the Falcons, and I'll tell you why. Because, Steve, if it's second and two or third and one, then Mariota's very dangerous, running for a first down. If it's third and nine, that really inhibits him being able to scramble for 9+ yards. You got to admit it. You were blown away, Steve, blown away. When you looked at my column the other day on the Chiefs game and saw that I broke down the first down plays by the Chiefs, there were 32 of them, and they ran on 18 of them and ran very successfully on the vast majority of it. So here it's second and three and third and two. And in the words of Lovie Smith, Lee, that's tough sledding. That's tough sledding.
Ira, I pictured you on your couch with your feet up, just celebrating 1980s style football with all those handoffs from the Chiefs.
I just couldn't believe that they were that successful on those first down runs, Steve. I just couldn't believe it. The holes were big. I mean, they were big. They ran left. They ran right. They ran up the middle. Where's Vea? Where's Golston? Where's Roaches? I didn't see him. Devin White's going high, in the words of DeKemper. All of a sudden, Lee's zeroing in on the nomenclature of the defensive coaches. It's a beautiful thing, Lee.
Ira, a couple of things of note. First, on the latest In the Current, which is the feature, the sort of Hard Knocks-ish light feature on Buccaneers.com where they follow the team. The first edition is out that covers through the first three games. And there's a lot of talk in there of how there was a lot of off-season focus. They interviewed Lori Locust, the assistant defensive line coach, and some others. A lot of offseason focus in preparing for mobile quarterbacks. That was a big focus this year. So here we are with Mariota, who's going to run. I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, who they'll face later, and other guys, but he will run the ball. He will take advantage of his ability there to change the game. And there's no reason for this team to not be ready, like Lee said. And I think what has me most curious, Ira, is personnel, because I think somebody who has watched every piece of film, I'm not talking about myself, but every snap, might be able to make a case right now that Anthony Nelson is a more valuable player than Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, especially against the run, And so I'm curious to see what they do and how they break up snaps this week, Ira. Then I think you're going to see Keanu Neal in that spot, who I thought played pretty well against the Chiefs in his first significant action on defense. And that's a downhill hard hitter who's going to be crazy motivated against his old team and who's been taking some heads off. I don't know, but there's no excuse this week. I could see Lee boiling and throwing things off walls if the Bucs get slaughtered on the run the way Atlanta's been carving people up for 160 yards a game.
Lee, Anthony Nelson's growing on me, Lee. He's growing on me. Guy makes some plays. You notice him. Speaking about Mariota, Lee, maybe I'm wrong. I'm more worried about his legs than his arm, Lee.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm much more worried about his legs. running for first downs, keeping the sticks moving. Those are back-breaking plays that are demoralizing to a defense. So in that regard, Lee, I'm going to bring up your favorite guy, Devin White.
You know, I know a lot of people harp on his ability to cover the pass in zone defense, and I understand that. He's never really shown, although he'll tell you different, he's never really demonstrated he's adept at doing that. In man-to-man coverage, he's all right, if not good. But zone, that's his bugaboo, and it's demonstrated how he's often targeted by offensive coordinators in the pass game. But to me, his especially in a run-first or run-stop-first defense, it concerns me he's always trying to tackle high. Anybody that's ever played football, even in Pee Wee, you're told go low, go low, and he goes high. That's fundamentally poor. And I don't know if he's paranoid about taking guys' knees out or something, but that's football 101. You tackle low, and he's always trying to tackle high, or he's trying to arm tackle, and that is why he has so many missed tackles.
Steve, I'm going to offer some free advice to Todd Bowles, who does listen to this podcast. He's told me so, and I think it's football 101. And I'd be surprised if this doesn't happen on Sunday afternoon. Steve, you know what I do with Devin White? I do what the Bucks did with Derek Brooks and Michael Vick. He spied him. He went everywhere Vick went. He sat on him, and when Vick broke that pocket, there was Brooks to lay his body on him. Now, Brooks was a form tackler. And Devin White is anything but, as Lee points out. But he's got the speed to make up a ton of ground. When Mariota takes off on second and eight and tries to run, I want White to lay him out. Yeah. Don't hurt him, but lay him out. Lee, what's wrong with having Devin White spying Marcus Mariota?
The only thing wrong with it is Devin White will try to arm tackle him, and Mariota will break that. I'm like you, Ira. Make your presence felt. Anytime you get outside the tackles, Devin White should be in Mariota's head. Like he's thinking, where is he? Where's 45? Where is he? I want Devin White in his head. And anytime he even thinks about getting outside the tackles, White's shoulder pads should be in his ribs.
Well, Sage, I think we all agree that's a huge key to the game here is the Bucs stopping the run. Vita Vea needs to show up. He got the most snaps that he's had in a long time against the Chiefs. And I don't know if it's coincidence, but he probably played his worst game in a long time. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on as well, Ira. But they cannot let the ball be run down their throat again. It's just there's no way to have that happen at home. And you know it's a focus all week long here, Ira. $500, Sage, that's what you get if you use Florida's Elite Restoration. And let them know before you get started that you heard about them from the Ira Kaufman podcast or JoeBucksFan.com. It's a fantastic offer, money you can use toward your deductible or just cash back if you are purchasing restoration services from Florida's Elite Restoration. Mold remediation, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. Storm damage, fire, flood, whatever it might be. Locally owned, Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them up, get a free assessment of what's going on at your property, your home, or your business. And after they come out and give you that free assessment, if you need them and their services, you can go forward with them. If not, that's okay. Owner Josh Martin is honest. They run a great company serving the whole Tampa Bay area. Josh Martin spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster. So, he knows the other side of the game. He knows the corruption involved in the insurance companies, and he's going to make sure you are protected. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call them 24/7. Before you call your insurance company, get that assessment so you know how to proceed in your time of need. Florida's Elite Restoration. On the offensive side, Sage, you know, the Falcons typically blitz under Dean Pease, you know, and that's his style as a longtime coordinator. You know, the Todd Bowles with the creative blitzing and stuff, they're supposedly trying to blitz less, but I don't think they're just going to let Tom Brady sit back there and carve him up. They've got some talent in the secondary, but I don't think they have what other teams have. And their defense hasn't been great this year by any stretch. It's fallen apart multiple times. Sometimes they pull it out, sometimes they don't. And you think they're going to come after Tom Brady on the road and try to make a play, or they're going to sit back?
I think they're going to try to blitz him, Lee, but it's not going to work. Brady's too savvy. Brady gets the ball out too quick. The pass protection against blitzes has been pretty stout. Yeah, that guy Snead made a play last week, hit Brady. Part of that's on Brady, Lee. Probably should have seen him coming. He didn't. I think overall the Falcon defense is very mediocre. That might be kind. They got a guy, A.J. Terrell, at corner. He's pretty good. But it's going to take more than one good defensive back to slow down a Buck offense that got a little bit untracked, as Steve said. If you're looking for a positive, that was the positive. Suck up's been outstanding. But we don't want to see field goals on Sunday. We want to see touchdowns. So, yeah, Lee, they're going to come after Brady, because if you don't, he'll pick you apart slowly. But I don't think they've got defensive playmakers to really negate what the Bucs can do on offense.
I agree.
Ira, the reason I brought up Dean Pease by name is because I know you love any coach in the NFL who's older than you are. So Dean Pease is in that category, a longtime Belichick guy, and from that interesting tree, was around Brady for a long time.
Was he with Arthur Smith in Tennessee?
Yeah, he was with Arthur Smith in Tennessee, and he was able to bring him over. And you know, it'll be interesting to see that chess match, because it's a savvy old guy who's knows Brady on many, many levels, yet might not have the animals he needs to actually pull off stopping him. You should catch up to Pease in the locker room. I think he could give you some good Rondé Barber stuff as you hone in on your quest to get him back into the Hall of Fame this year.
That's not bad. You know, Lee, speaking of Rondé Barber, quickly. I got a call the other week. It was on a voicemail from Mel Blunt. Yes, the Mel Blunt.
Whoa!
And he's calling the Hall of Fame voters, and he's trying to drum up a little support for a guy that he's no longer a modern-day candidate, so he's in the senior class, which is Doug Williams. Very interesting. Doug Williams as a historic NFL figure. And you know what? You could at least have a conversation about it. I just, his quarterback numbers, Lee, certainly don't qualify for a bust. But you can make a case for him and change in history of perceptions of black quarterbacks with that unbelievable Super Bowl effort. So anyway, Lee, I haven't been able to reach Blunt on a call back. I'm leaving voicemails. He's leaving voicemails. Lee, when I get him, we're going to talk Doug Williams for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to try to get a quote from Mel Blunt about Rondé Barber. I think he'll give me one. I hope it's juicy. And I'm bringing that right into that Zoom call. And Lee, if Mel Blunt gives you his blessing, that's got to count.
Ira, tell the good folks who Mel Blunt is.
A key part of the Steel Curtain in the 70s, cornerback, big cornerback, 6'2". When back then, most cornerbacks were 5'11". Lee, very physical. Very tough, tremendous against run support, intimidated opposing wide receivers, intimidated him. He was mean. He'd lay out. One of the all-time corners in NFL history, Mel Blunt. And
this is all you need to know about Mel Blunt. Google Mel Blunt rule. When the NFL changes the game because of you, that's all you need to say.
You mean like the NFL is going to do with Joe Tryon, right? The same type of thing.
Mel Blunt was no less than awesome.
He was.
And when the NFL changed how you could defend because you were so dominant, and that's why they came up with the Mel Blunt rule, that's all you need to know. And as much as I love and respect Mel Blunt, and I love that cowboy hat he always wears,
yes.
As much as I worship Mel Blunt, not even he could change my mind. Doug Williams Doug Williams is the reason why I am a Bucs fan. I love Doug Williams. But to put Doug Williams in the same sentence as the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a complete and total outrage. Worse than Don Coryell in the Hall of Fame.
Doug Williams
was a nice quarterback. But the Hall of Fame, are you kidding me? I mean, what next? Dexter Jackson in the Hall of Fame? Because he had a great Super Bowl? Are you kidding me?
It's a tough argument, Lee.
It's not even a tough argument. It's a no-brainer. No wonder Deion Sanders is upside down about the Hall of Fame and how he's embarrassed. I don't blame him. Holy cow.
Now, wait a minute.
The only way Doug Williams should be in Canton is paying to get in like everybody else. My God.
Lee, let's not get ahead of himself. He's not even been discussed. Nobody's talking about Doug Williams.
Who's leaving voicemails for you to get Doug Williams in the Hall of Fame? Come on now.
Well, then you got an argument with Mel Blunt, not with the Hall of Fame committee.
No, I got an argument that's even discussed.
I can't stop Mel Blunt from making a phone call, Lee. What do you want me to do?
Call him back and say, Mel, you're awesome, but you need to lay off the bottle.
So find out where I'm living, Steve, and lay me out.
Well, that's a fair argument.
Hey, the kid, well, you are known as the king of Newport Richey, Iris. Everybody does know where to find you. With this game coming up here, simply put, on the offensive front, what do you think the Bucs' approach is? Do you think they try to, if everybody's healthy with those receivers, they try to pass first, open up the run, and see if they can go to tempo, which has worked for them, and light it up and force Mariota to throw right away? Or do you think they're looking at five handoffs on the first possession, whether we like it or not?
I think you're going to see a lot more than six rushing plays. I don't think it's going to be bombs away with Brady, and I don't think it has to be on Sunday. I want to see Vaughn get his eight carries. I want to see White. I want to see White get his five carries. I want to see Fournette get his 13 carries. Lee, I'm not going crazy. I'm not asking to run on 55% of their plays, which, by the way, Lee, that's what the Falcons do. They run 60% of the time. I'm not asking for that from a Tampa perspective. But 52 passes, that was the type of game that called for it. I don't have any problem with that. This game doesn't call for that unless the Bucs start turning the ball over and the next thing you know, it's 20-3 Falcons. Then all bets are off. I expect them to get back to showing a semblance of a running game, because if they don't, as the season progresses, I think it's really going to hurt them. So, you know, I'm looking for 60-40, 60 passes, 40 runs percentage-wise. I'm not too worried about the Bucs putting up points on Sunday, Lee.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that you want to run for diversity purposes. I get that. No, balanced and diversity are two different things. Balanced is nonsense. If the Falcons are stupid enough to put nine guys in a box and single-cover Mike Evans and single-cover Chris Godwin – well, then I hope Brady throws 60 passes on their asses.
Right.
I hope he lights their ass up. But, yeah, I'd like to see them run. But if they're daring the Bucs to throw, okay. If you're daring Tom Brady to throw to Mike Evans, that's your poison, pal.
Dean Pease can't be that stupid, Steve. That can't be his defensive orientation. We got to stop Leonard Fournette. Not when you're facing a Tom Brady offense, Steve. That can't be the way you're thinking.
I got a problem with Dean Pease because he's picked a fight with our friend D. Orlando Ledbetter, and Ledbetter put him in his spot and had him on his heels.
Let me hear about that, Lee.
Pease copped an attitude with him, like, you know, basically, you know, Mo Green, who are you? What's your football background? And Ledbetter came right at him with his football background. Oh, well, you know, these guys, like, you know, how dare you ask me a question? I invented football. Well, who the hell are you? You're not God. You make mistakes. No one's good. Above questioning. No one. Not good even Belichick.
Good for D-Led. Good for D-Led, Steve.
I like, yeah. And Artie Smith copped an attitude with him, too, in the past. So calm down, guys. You guys aren't Lombardi. You're not Chuck Knoll. You're not Joe Gibbs. Last I checked, you're losing week after week. Relax.
All right, Ira, before we get to our picks and our reminder, of course, Bill Curry Ford, that's where you shop for a vehicle. Bill Curry Ford, family owned, 62 years in Tampa. That's the family name, Bill Curry Ford. And we love Big Storm Beer. Enjoy your Big Storm Beer. And remember Florida's Elite Restoration. Every time you have an issue in your home, Florida's elite restoration, water, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it might be. That's who you call first, 24/7. Ira, what do you think the Bucs record is, including playoffs, when Leonard Fournette gets 12 carries or more?
Steve, only you would come up with something so devious. 12 carries or more. How many games are we talking about? 18. How many games?
18 How games. Many? 18 How games. Many? 18 Eight. Games.
I'm going to say they're 14-4.
They're 16-2, Ira. Not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. Lee doesn't want to hear it. Lee doesn't want to hear it.
Well, but, you know, running the ball is one thing. Running effectively is another. If you're banging your head up against a brick wall, you're not getting anywhere. What are you doing? You're killing yourself.
And Lee, let's remember, when you're running the ball extensively, it means you're not losing, probably. You're probably not losing.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Ira, you are at the 5-minute warning here. I hear the bell, so we're going to get to the picks. What's your order? What's your preferred order, Ira? You are 2-2. You're 2-2 on your picks this year for the Bucks. I have only got it right once, and I'm in the same boat with Lee. He's actually only he hasn't gotten it right yet. So we're 1-2-3 here. 0-1 win for me, and 2 for you.
Am I the only one who picked the Chiefs last week, Stephen?
Yes.
I will go second, gentlemen. I will go second.
The Falcons stink. I don't want to hear this high school nonsense. They fought hard. They tried. They work hard. You know, baloney. They stink. Bucks are going to win by 30. 45-15.
I can't agree with Lee at this point and say the Falcons stink, but the Bucks are better, Steve, a lot better than the Falcons on their roster, up and down, starting with under center, huge gap. So I'm looking for that complete game from the Bucks, Steve, that complete game. So I will go 27-13, Bucks in command all day on Sunday. Cheap little touchdown maybe for Atlanta at the end of the game. Make it look a little closer than it is. And, Steve, before you chime in, I just want to say the Kemper's been on point today. He's been revved up. He's been passionate. Lee, I got to tip my hat to you. You carried the day. And, Steve, it's going to be tough for you to match the Kemper's enthusiasm.
I was scoring the podcast. I got a C-minus, Ira. I got a C-minus. I've got to go with the Bucks. They are better than the Falcons, although the Falcons are super, super physical. And I think it's going to be a tough game. I really do, just from the physicality of it, because I think the Bucks may have some challenges there. But hopefully they come out throwing. I really hope they do. I wouldn't start to try to give the Falcons any life by plotting a little bit. And next thing you know, you're down 10-7. It's the second quarter, and it's a ball game. But I still think it's going to be a tough game. Ira, I'm going to go 27-19 Bucks.
Lee, I think you're going to get your first win of the year this week, I believe.
Hopefully.
hey, Ira, who do you think stands out on the offense? Who do you think comes out of this thing with the way the Bucks are going to play it and the way the Falcons are going to try to take away? Who comes out shining here?
As usual, Mike Evans. He's at the peak of his powers. He's playing great. Whether you see his numbers at the end of the year, he's not going to play 17 games. Hopefully he plays 16 games. The guy's a scoring machine. 27 touchdowns the previous two seasons. I think he's going to get 11 or 12 this season. And he's going to keep it rolling against Atlanta. Mike Evans will be the man.
I'm going to ask you something that I heard Ian Beckles talk about. I never really thought of it this way, but I found it interesting, but I want your feedback on this. Beckles was suggesting that your elite receivers generally, now he's not talking always, he's talking generally. Generally, your elite receivers are elite for 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years. He says Evans has been elite since he's been in the league. And he's elite once again. That's 9 years now. And Beckles just thought that was exceptional, that you don't often see receivers at the top of their game for so many years. What's your take on that?
I think generally speaking, he's got a valid point. But there are a lot of exceptions, Lee. Julio Jones is one of them. Devonte Adams is putting years together. If you've got a tight end, Kelsey, 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Cooper Kupp looks like he's on his way, but he's got a ways to go. Generally, he's right, Lee. And Evans, in particular, has had one hell of a career. And Lee, he looks like a guy who's got another 5 years left in him. He is on a Canton track. There's no question about it. Is he great at yards after the catch? No, never has been. So what? The guy scores touchdowns. And I'll take him on my team any day of the week. He's also a tremendous teammate, Lee. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Never complains about not getting enough balls. All he wants to do is win. Mike Evans is the complete package.
Yeah, when I read that, Lee, I was like, Ed Beckles is out of his mind. There's not one receiver in the Hall of Fame that you could say, oh, he only had four or five good years. I don't know of any. And you name it, Torrey Holt, guys like that, they all had long stretches of consistency. That's what made him great. So I don't know. Well, I don't buy it.
You're actually making Beckles' point. That's not general. Not everybody's a Hall of Famer.
That was my point, is that I think we all knew before this season that Mike Evans is he's a Hall of Fame caliber receiver, you know, that because of his consistency. I don't, it just didn't make sense to me because we all know it. It's just like saying I don't want to give a too good analogy there, Ira. You're a legend. You're a legend.
Thank you, Stevie.
All right, Ira, any last thoughts here as we head out into Bucks land and fans are getting ready to pack up their tailgates with their big storm beer and head out to the stadium?
I think Todd Bowles knows this going into this week. They need to play a very good game. They need to. They have not played a complete game, Lee. Week 5, you're going against an inferior opponent. You've lost 2 straight at home. They got to put it together, Lee, because we don't want to think of the alternative, Lee. 2-3, I don't care who you're playing. I don't care that you're going to play Pittsburgh and Carolina. I don't care. You start 2-3. The fans are going to be all over you. And you know what? You deserve it.
Do you agree with what Chris Russo told you yesterday? That the Bucks lose to Atlanta to fall to 2-3. Russo's words, not mine. They're in trouble.
Not necessarily, Lee. But I just think it'll cast a little shroud around Todd Bowles. He's replacing a very successful coach in Arians. He's got Brady, who's still taking every snap. Even if his finger hurts a little and he's got a – I never heard of a minor rotator cuff, Lee. I thought if you have a rotator cuff, you got a problem.
Or is Ian Rappaport referred to it, little rotator cuff.
If you've got Brady under center and he's taking all the snaps, you got to win a lot of football games, no matter what else happens around you. That's the way I look at it, Lee. It might be simple, but I think a lot of fans agree with me. You got Brady and he's playing – you better win.
Ira, one word answer, and then we're out. One word answer. If Brady's rotator cuff flares up and Blaine Gabbert gets the start, do the Bucks win on Sunday?
The only question is, what score do they lose?